We were in the middle of the sugya on Daf Zadi Ches. It's a very, very difficult sugya. The easy part was the first part about the Zerah B'Sheila. So I'm going to start again. Let's start again with Abaye. A lot of people, I know, a lot of people were starting Biur Day yesterday, and other people just weren't back yet. So let's start with, in the middle of the Daf, the Gemara had just said that there's a machlokes. It's not really a machlokes, as we pointed out. It's two versions of what either Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said here, and the Yerushalmi was the exact same two versions of what Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said in the name of Bar Pidaya. Whether or not all Yisurin Shabbatara B'tein and B'shishim of a man. Obviously, everybody here knows B'shishim because that's the way we paskin. How do we know that? Why do we paskin that way? Because Rava said earlier, right, for the Yeridea people, that was a bonus throwaway question. You couldn't have asked her an easier question. I think everybody in Shir could have answered that question. What are the three chilukim that Rava makes in terms of the way things are batel? Amar Rabbanan b'taima, Amar Rabbanan b'kfeila, Amar Rabbanan b'shishim. So we all know Rava paskin shishim. So that basically becomes the exact psak of the Gemara Rava Dezara. But there are two shittas: shishim, mea. Both the Baal and the Yerushalmi explain that it has to do with something, with how you make the cheshbon of the bones versus the meat of the zroa. But they both learn it from the fact that the Torah says you can cook the zroa b'sheila. You cook the zroa with the ayal. The zroa has a din of truma. The ayal is just kachim kalam. The zroa has a din of truma and kachim kalam. Only kohan can eat it. The rest of the ayal can be eaten by the nazir, his family, any Yisrael, any tahor, any Jewish tahor. And therefore, how can you cook the zroa with the rest of the ayal when the rest of the ayal is going to get the tam of the zroa? And so the fact that the Torah says that you, maybe perhaps even mandates that you cook the two in the same pot, means that, and it's either a proportion of shishim or mea, depending on how you make the calculation. So therefore, you see that all Yisrael Shabbat Torah, at least are batal b'shishim the mea. As we pointed out, I didn't mention this yesterday, you don't know that shishim and mea is the extent of the heter, but you know that more than shishim and mea is definitely mutter. Right, and as it could be the Torah permitted the Zeroa B'Sheila with the ayal, it could be that even 1 out of 40 would be mutter. But you know at least whatever that proportion is, 1 out of 60 and 1 out of 100 is mutter, because that the Torah permits and mandates, in fact, and the Torah would presumably, although that might is about to be challenged by the Gemara, would not have mandated you do something that's usher. Kind of, it's almost an oxymoron by definition. The Torah cannot, Torah will not mandate something that's usher. If it mandates it, it must be mutter. So now the Gemara says the following. So let's read again. I want whoever read for me yesterday, or who read yesterday, but doesn't have to read again. Let's get you read yesterday. So today more people have gotten that far. I'll take a volunteer who would like to read.
Where are we starting? We're starting from
Umi Alfin on Mina, in the middle of Sadi Chesamid Beis. How many your day people probably may not have seen the Gemara this time around, but you've seen it before, right? So Jeremy, you want to read? I'm sorry, Abigail, why don't you read, and he's eating, and he'll pick up when you're done. Okay. It's smack in the middle of the page. Last two words. So that's the whole entire brisa, and as we mentioned yesterday, we don't have this brisa anywhere else. The Yerushalmi has a very similar, not exact same language, but the Yerushalmi clearly is dealing with the same brisa. We don't have this anywhere else. I didn't check, but I'm pretty sure it's not in the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar. It's just this one line we have, Zeu Hetar B'Machal Esur. So apparently it was a Braisa that said that Zeroa B'Sheila is a Hetar B'Machal Esur. What does Hetar B'Machal Esur mean? How does the Gemara understand Hetar B'Machal Esur?
Something that's normally Esur.
Something that would normally be Esur, and this is an exceptional case. In other words, this, if you do the same thing with a zroa b'sheila, a zroa with a ayil, you cook them together in a different, similar case, you know, a conceptually or physically identical case, so it would be aser, but here it's mutter. Okay.
What is
b'sheila? Well, as I said, we don't know. In other words, all we have, again, it's the same b'sheila, you have this in the Yerushalmi, a very brief thing, it's not the exact same language, but it's clearly, the way I take it, both, because I'm assuming that the Bavli here has taken the sugya of the Yerushalmi because it's virtually identical, and because even on content-wise it appears to be the same thing, is this notion that somehow Zoro represents a yotzei min haklal. It's keheter haba'mechal iser. Now, we yesterday spent a little time fleshing out, so someone here will just throw back the answer that we gave. There's one obvious reason why this brace, this din, as Rabbi Shela, really does not make any sense to be a Makka for Shishim and Meya. And what is that? Somebody was here yesterday. Yosef? It's Min Bavino. And the entire discussion, and this was not clear in the Yushalmi, but it's clear in the Yushalmi maybe holds differently. But in the Bavli, it was clear the entire discussion of Shishim and Meya takes place in the context of what? What is Shishim and Meya a shorthand for? No same time, right? As we've said, I've hammered this home all year so far. The Mishnah never uses a number shir. In fact, except for in Gedanusha, the Mishnah never even suggests that you have to figure out how do you calculate. The Mishnah always says, 10, 20, 30 places in Shas, b'no same time. The notion of Shishim is something that develops among the Amoraim as a way to gauge whether or not there's likely to be time. Because the obvious problem is, how do you know? How do you know? So the Mishnah, by Gedanusha, happens to give you a way to determine by Gedanusha. But the Amoraim are still working out what exactly is the numbers. And you could see, as we saw in Tzadikha Samad Aleph, that depending on how you read the Gemara, the late Tanaim, Rebbe and his son, his grandson, they're still dealing with numbers that are Pachas Mishishim. Rashi pointed out on Tzadi Zayin of Beis, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't yet Mekabel the Shir Shishim. Rabbi Yochanan says that you do use butts of a couplet as your standard. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have a number. But the notion of having a number of Shishim or Meya exists certainly in the Bavli through the entire Sugya as a question of a shorthand of determining whether there's Tam or not. So the question is then, how can Zeroa B'Sheila serve as a makar at all if after all it's Min B'Mino? Who asked this question? Tosfos and all the Rishonim asked the question, and what is their conclusion going to be? The entire thing is an Asmachta. That's the conclusion they're going to come to. But the Gemara doesn't ask that question. The Gemara, you know, just does not seem to be bothered by that question. I don't know why. Yehuda? So I was waiting for someone to suggest that. I'm not such a bucky in me.
We know Yerushalayim makes a split between Yisrael and Ayah because of one being full and one being kashim.
No. Wouldn't no. No.
Yerushalayim asks, well, why is it that it's not? Why? How is Azar allowed to eat the ayil if it's being cooked with the Zroa? Oh, because the issue doesn't transfer. The kashim doesn't transfer to the bowl, does it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't have the Yushalmi in front of me, but I think the whole kash is how a Zar eats it. And that's the Yushalmi basically up until this point is the same as the Bavli.
Or either way. Maybe it's the Mishnah.
It's just that's the kash of the Yushalmi. You're dealing, and you're not dealing with Hulin, you're dealing with, it's Hulin versus Truma. I mean, they're both Kachim, but one of them on top of that is Truma. But the Yushalmi, that's part of the question. That's not, the Yushalmi doesn't say that therefore that that's Mim B'Shein Omino.
No, I didn't say the Yushalmi says it's Mim B'Shein Omino, but to extrapolate from that, that's
Here, and this goes back to the issue that in Yerodeh we dealt with, that very long shach. The Ramah says in Tzadikas that the way you determine Min B'Mino is as Linam Basar Shema. But the shach seemingly correctly points out, and it's really hard to defend the Ramah, that the Ramah sort of tripped here, because the Shach says the whole issue of Azlin and Basar Shema, of Basar Taima, which is the Machlokas of Bayin Rav and Abad Zara, is only relevant when you're not talking about, when you're beyond the threshold of Tam. In other words, if I have 70 times, if I have 70, 80, 100, 150 times Heter Kenegedi Yisr, clearly, if we're only worried about no same Tam, there's no problem anymore. But there is a din that certain things are not batel when they're called min b'mino. Now, what's an example of that? So for starters, Rabbi Yehuda holds everything, according to the Gemara. And more explicitly, Rav and Shmuel say that all Yisrael and Shevet Torah min b'mino is mashahu. Everybody holds, even Rabbi Yochanan Mishlakish Amod, that Vayayin Esach and Tevel, the Oser b'mashahu. So the Shach says, the whole discussion of Basar Shema, which is what you could have claimed here, Chulin and Kachim, is a discussion that only gets off the ground in the context where there is no ta'am, and the only shaila is about this din is now called min b'mino. But the whole point of the Bavli in using the shir of Shishim and Meah, maybe the Yushalmi, I don't know, the whole point within the sugya of the Bavli is that we're talking about ta'am. Shishim and Meah here are a shorthand for a shortcut for determining that there's no ta'am, as opposed to having to use kfela or some other means of determining. So the fact that one is chulin and one is kachim, that you could label that min b'shein omino, if you were working with, let's say, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav and Shmuel here, you'd have a taina, but then it wouldn't be batel either b'mea b'shishim either. Right? It would be oser b'mashehu. So what you'd have to argue, if you wanted to argue this is min b'shein omino, is you really have to argue that what you're talking about, to argue, and I don't think this is true, but I'm not a Bucky in this, that the Zroa of the aisle tastes different than the meat, you know, on the aisle itself. I mean, I assume, I don't eat organ meat, not a halachic reason, but a personal aesthetic reason, but I would assume that organ meat tastes different than semi-meat liver. Well, I don't, again, you never know how it's processed and what else is in there. But I assume organ meat tastes differently than regular, you know, muscle meat or whatever it is.
Not processed. Like, just...
So it looks like
chill. I imagine that organ meat tastes different than you know, the general, you know, flesh of the animal. But I'd assume that the flesh of the animal, I mean, there are parts that are juicier because there's more fat in them. There are parts that are less juicy because there's less fat in them. But at the end of the day, the tom is essentially the same. You know, even chaylam and basa, the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim say, is considered mimimino. That's a machlokas. So I would assume that the Zeroa tastes the same as the rest of the aisle. That's what the Rishonim do assume. Again, I don't know that they did empirical taste tests, but it's a reasonable presumption.
Like a dark meat and a white meat thing.
I don't think they would say the dark and light meat. I mean, that's interesting.
First,
I don't know. Is that true by animals or only true by birds?
True by chickens, but with dark and white meat?
Yeah.
It's only true by chickens and turkeys because they don't fly.
Interesting. Okay. So bottom line, either way, I don't think, I'm not, it's an interesting question whether or not, and even there, I thought to some extent the difference is more how moist they are. I don't know if that's a function of how much fat there is in them or something like that. But they don't taste so different. So I don't think we would treat that as an indushe nomino. I don't think that Tom is sufficiently differentiated. I'm not 100% sure. So that's a problem. So that's a kasha, I would have said. We shouldn't have asked that question, but the Gemara doesn't say. That would have been, why is that? I mean, why me afina mina? But the Gemara doesn't, for whatever reason, the Gemara does not ask that question. So let's sort of put that question aside. Let's pretend for the moment that somehow there could have been transfer flavor. There is transfer flavor from the Zeroa to the aisle, and yet the Gemara says, me afina mina, why? How can you learn from it? So the question is, what is Zeu Hetar B'Mechalis for me? And that's what the Gemara is going to explore. And there are going to be three different approaches among the Amoraim. Now, what is the point if you say that this is Hetar B'Mechalis, sir? What does that undermine you? Why then can't you learn from it? Just spell it. It's obvious. It's not, it's Aleph Beis, but it's very important to state. Why is it, if it's Hetar B'Mechalis, sir, why can't you learn from this, Avigal?
Once it's an exception, that means that there's something different about this case.
And therefore, that spell. But I want you to go further. It's an exception. And what way is it an exception?
Would be usher, but now it's mutter.
This should have been usher, but now it's mutter. And therefore, what can you not learn from it?
Not everything else is mutter, because of it.
So in other words, you can't learn a kula or a chumra from it.
You can't learn a kula from it.
You can't learn a kula from it. Now let me ask you a question.
Why can you learn anything?
Because if this thing, which is singled out by the Torah to be mekel, that it's hetar b'machal iser, and still it would have a certain din of a chumra associated with it, kal b'chomer, something that doesn't have this particular kula associated with it, would have whatever the other chumra would be. So if you wanted to learn a different chumra from it, that would presumably be, should be fine. Right? So it sounds from the Gemara at this point, and I don't know if we've shown anybody actually points this out, it may turn out somewhat to be irrelevant, but from the Gemara it sounds as if you wanted to learn a kula from it, and we're saying, hey, how can you learn a kula from it? Now let me ask you a question. Is shishim and mea, is that a kula or a chumra?
It's a chumra.
Why is it a chumra? Why do you think it's a chumra?
Because you could say rove.
That's a maybe. Where did you get that idea from?
Well,
the Gemara further on. Maybe I didn't look carefully enough, and I'm going to look again. But no, none of the Rishonim sort of highlight this point. I don't think Rashi says it either. And they don't answer this in the end. Right now, the Gemara says you can't learn from it because it's a special kulas by Zera B'Sheila. The Gemara is going to turn around later, not in response to this question, in response to a different question, and say, Atu, l'kula gamrina, l'chumra gamrina. I mean, a Torah would have been Vato B'Rov. And we're learning from Zera B'Sheila that you need Shishim or Meya. It's very interesting. It seems to go in two different directions. Okay, you got to sort of So, you know, put that aside for the moment. Put that question aside. Maybe we'll see something, and then that will just enlighten us. But, I mean, the Gemara says, how can you learn Shisha Momea from it? Now, on my own, by the way, even if I didn't have, say, Bito Barov, so is there any way in which one could argue, is there any way in which one could argue that no Shisha Momea is a Kula? Abigail?
Based on the Shiro's Batel of the Kiklop, then, I mean, since that was something that's more pungent than other tastes, then why, then we're saying that even if it's not something that has as strong a taste as
correct.
Onions, it would.
So following Rabbi Yochanan's lead on Batzah of a Kaplet, the way the Gemara presents it, that is the most, Rabbi Yochanan picked something that was the maximal flavor, and if that is not no same time in that shear, it's mother. If that's not no same time, certainly other, you know, everything else is not giving no same time. So you're basically picking a largest number possible, you know, the highest common, you know, I don't know what you would call it, the highest common denominator or something like that. And by doing that, what you end up saying is that anything, any other Isurim, Arvi Bata really in principle and less than that, but we're going to require Shisha Mameya. So that's what I too would have said to Chum. I wouldn't necessarily have said that in our Torah it should have been Berov, but I certainly would have said it could have been less than that. Now, unless you want to turn around and argue something else, and Jonathan, this might be sort of, I know what you're thinking. You're going, for the rest of the year, you're going to be thinking about Tom Kulish, right? Okay? That's what you're, so you, unless you want to turn around and say no, then maybe Shisha Mameya is in fact a kula, because we're going to say that even if you can taste it, if you have Shisha Mameya there, it's going to be bata. Okay? And I do see, by the way, the beginning of the big Tosfos, where that idea, even though Tosfos rejects it in the end, that idea. So it's difficult to swallow, because in the end the Gemara says no, that Shisha Mameya, and this question stands no matter what you explain, Shisha Mameya is, the Gemara says that Shisha Mameya really is a chumrah, because really you should have been bata barov. Right. Okay, but anyway, but you could say, in this, at least this way, both of them would be, we're trying to learn a chumrah, I'm sorry. Right? No, that would be the way of saying that, in fact, this is really, Shisha Mameya right now, is actually a kula. Right? And therefore we can't learn from it. Okay. Abigail?
You said that Shisham, even if you could taste it, it would be bata?
That's the only alternative to say, is if you're going to argue that Shisham Meh is really a kulam, that's why the Gemara can say, Miofinamina, it's heter abamachal iser, and therefore you can't learn a kula of Shisham Meh. How could Shisham Meh be a kula? So the argument would be that really you would have thought that no matter, even a Tom Kalush is aser, so Kamash. Right, and then you're going to have to sort of invent this, because clearly Milsa David El Taima is exceptional. So I don't think anybody's going to say that there's a Havanim by Milsa David El Taima. So you have to... I can see why in the world of pure Lundus it's very appealing. You can say lots of interesting things, but what does that tell you about the nature of this and the nature of Tam, the fact that if it's Kalush, if Tavlin is not going to be Bata, because that's a Tam, that's not going to be a Tam Kalush. But everything else, we're Kovei Ashir, and less than that's a Tam Kolosh, and okay. I'm obviously more tied to the Metzias, and therefore I have a hard time swallowing that. Okay, so but the Pasha, the Gemara sounds like at this particular point that Shishim and Mea was a Kula. It's going to turn around later in a few lines and say, Atu Manan Lekula Gamrina Lechumraka Gamrina. Okay, but anyway, so now putting aside again all those questions, the Gemara says that there's a Kula we have by Zorah B'Sheila, which doesn't allow us to learn to anything else, because it's heter bama chalisser. So zehu lemutei mai, what is it that Zerab Sheila is a kula by that doesn't apply anywhere else? My love, lemutei, go ahead. Avigo? Lemutei.
My love, lemutei, kuli sun shuba Torah.
Yeah, so now we're going to get three answers. So let's first just go through it as quickly as we can, and then come a second time. I just wanted you to get a sense of the flow of the Gemara for those who haven't. Go ahead. So the first statement is... Okay, so first step. Rabbi Huda Shitas Memimino is not Batel. Okay, so as I mentioned yesterday, it's clear by the time we spoke about the fact, and the Ramban even notes this, that Rabbi Yehuda nowhere beferish says that mimim mino is not batel. At certain points, the Gemara wants to extrapolate from Yehuda. Rav and Shmuel say beferish mimim mino is not batel, but Rabbi Yehuda never said it. Rabbi Yehuda just said that ain't dam avatel dam. He never said that as a general mim b'sheino mino is not batel. And we pointed out, you know, it's the question is who's the first one to interpret Rabbi Yehuda that way? It's clear Abaye is certainly, by the time of Abaye, they are reading Rabbi Yehuda that way. You know, whether Rabbi Yochanan read him that way, we can question, but Abaye certainly understands Rabbi Yehuda that way. Now, so Abaye says, it's Rabbi Shelas min demino, and Rabbi Yehuda holds mimino's nomen la batel, so this is an exceptional case, and therefore you can't learn any kulas for any kula from Zerah B'Sheila to anywhere else, because just as for Rabbi Yehuda, normally Mim B'Mino is never batel, but by Zerah B'Sheila it's batel, so maybe Shishim and Meir are not batel by other things, but by Zerah B'Sheila it's batel, because the Torah is very makeup by Zerah B'Sheila. So now, that's Omar Bayis. Okay, so now the Gemara says, the Ligmar. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda learn from that as a makar that Mim B'Mino is batel? So the Gemara says, Gali Rahmana. So you have, this is the makar for Rabbi Yehuda's min mimino. This is makar for Rabbi Yehuda's ein dam avatel dam. The dam apar is definitely meruba midam asayir, and therefore, and nonetheless, you mix them together, you put them on the mizbeach, and therefore, what do you see? You see that min mimino is not batel. So you can't learn from Zerah B'Sheila because you have that other pasuk. So the Gemara says, Umay. So why? Who told you to go learn from the dam case that mimino is not batel? Learn from this case that it is batel. Why do you choose that as your binyan op? Choose this as your binyan op. The answer is Zerah B'Sheila is a chiddush, and you can't learn from a chiddush. What's the chiddush? You can get into a circular path here. The chiddush is that it's heter abam mechal iser. That obviously the whatever Abaye just said is not the chiddush. What's the chiddush by Zerah B'Sheila? Gemara doesn't say. It takes it as a davar pasha. What is it a chiddush? So most of the Rishonim say, I think all the Rishonim say, that you're allowed to mevatel iser lachatchila. And this is very interesting. And I'm not going to. So let's accept that. Here you're allowed to mevatel iser lachatchila. It's a special kula. Therefore, if you have to choose to learn either that Mim B'Mino is not batel from Dam, or that Mim B'Mino is batel from Zerah B'Sheila, the answer is you don't learn anything from Zerah B'Sheila. All bets are off when it comes to Zerah B'Sheila, because the Torah allows you to be mevatel lachatchila, not only allows you, the Torah mandates that you be mevatel iser lachatchila here, whereas elsewhere, no such thing. And therefore, you can't learn anything from Zerah B'Sheila, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda learns from Dam. Sure. You have a choice. By Zerah B'Sheila, the Torah assumes Mim B'Mino is batel. Because Zerah and the Ayah have the same taste, and yet it's batel. By Dam, Apar and Dam Asari, the Torah assumes that it's not batel. Mim B'Mino is not batela. So now the question is, which one should serve as the paradigm? So the Gemara says that Zerah B'Sheila is a case of Mevatlin Isur L'chatchila. The Torah mandates being mevatlin iser lachatchila, and that's so unusual, such a novel concept and a novel approach that we know from nowhere else. Therefore, you can't learn anything from Zerah B'Sheila. Zerah B'Sheila is exceptional in all regards, and in this case, I might say, Jeremy, that you can't learn anything from it, kula or chumra, and therefore you're only left with one choice of a paradigm for Mim B'Mino for Rabbi Yehuda. That is namely dam, ein dam avatel dam, and therefore Mim B'Mino is normally not batel. So that's what the Gemara said, that chiddushu ume chiddush lo gamrina. So now the Gemara says, if that's the case, we set it up so perfectly and tied our hands so well, Avigel, so what does the Gemara now ask? So, we shouldn't learn anything from it, fine. So Zerah B'Sheila teaches you nothing, except for about Zerah B'Sheila. Fine. So now the Gemara says, apparently no. Atu.
Atu anan l'kula gamrinan l'chumra gamrinan. Midaraisa beruba batla.
Wow. This is very interesting. So firstly, the assumption is that you can't learn from it min bimino is batel, because presumably, is min bimino batel a kula or a chumra? Probably a kula. Maybe you come in some case chumra. It's certainly not a definite chumra, that's for sure. Maybe it's a kula. So the Gemara says you just don't learn a kula from it. Not that you don't learn anything, you don't learn a kula from it. But we are coming to learn a chumra here. Now, why is shishim and mea chumra according to the Gemara? Because midaraisa, it would have been bata barov. Why? Because aslina basaruba is the principle. So, if we didn't have a pasuk of tzvara b'sheila, we would have said that all isurim are betelim barov. Why? Because achrei rabim lahatos, the Torah prohibits eating chazir. Yes. When you eat chazir, if you have a tarovas of chazir, well, you go bust out the rove to determine whether you're eating beef or whether you're eating pork. And if the majority is beef, you're eating beef. And the majority is pork, you're eating pork. And that'd be the end of the discussion. Oh, you're able to taste the flavor of pork. That's very nice. But that's not eating pork. That's just eating the flavor of pork. Okay, so that's what we would have said on our own. And therefore, we have a pasuk that teaches us what? That teaches us that things require shishim or mea in order to be mevatel them. Now, according to Abaye, stop for a moment, assuming we take the drasha seriously as a deraisa, not the way the Rishonim take it, what does Abaye hold about what we typically call tam ke'ikar? Generally speaking. Avigil?
That
might be true. Agreed. But what does he hold, Ladina? Is Tankiker Darais or not? What? Why not?
Because then he'll be able to influence everything else.
What? Without Zoroa B'Sheila, we would have said that all Yisrael Rabbi Talem Barov. With Zoroa B'Sheila, what do we say? Assuming that it's not all one big happy asmachta. What? That what? Tom Kiker's the Raisa. Because without Zoroa B'Sheila, we would have said that the Gemara doesn't use this terminology here, at least, that Tom Kiker is only the Rabbanon. If there is such a thing, because you would have said Batel Barov. Clearly, I'm not a cuisinary, whatever the word is, a culinary, excuse me, expert, but I think that if you take 51% of food X, which has a flavor to it, and 49% of the taros of food Y, which has a flavor to it, you're going to taste Y, even if X is the majority. I think that's I'm pretty confident in that assertion. So, on our own, we would have said, Bato Barov. Now you turn around and say, no, you need Shishim Omei, you learn it from Zoroa B'Sheila. So it sounds like Zoroa B'Sheila teaches you the din of Tam Ke'ikar Daraisa. That's what it sounds like, according to Abaye. Yes.
What is the argument that says,
Midoraisa, without this pasuk, we would have said be'acharav and lahatos. Again, the way I explained conceptually is that without a gzeres hakasav of tam ke'ikar, basically you're eating a substance. What is the substance? Okay. In many ways, by the way, you know where that does come to fruition fully. Hilchos brachos. As a general rule, when you want to determine Ikar and Tafel, you simply look at the majority. Another way of saying that is that whatever is the majority determines what you are eating. And there are other ramifications within that sugya. So here, the Torah comes along and says, no, but by the way, it's not just the consideration of just Acharav and Lahatos. That would be true. Let's say you had very bland tray food and very flavorful kosher food, and you mix them together and they only seem to taste the kosher food, but the majority of it is tray food. That's Tarfas Mamish. There's no shayla about that. That is Glatreif. Whereas in the case where you had a rove of kosher food, you might have on your own said, even though you can taste the tray food, you would have said, so what? It doesn't matter. But now the Zoroa B'Sheila teaches you that there's a din of tam ke'ikar, and therefore it's tam ke'ikar is daraisa. Now, I have reason for wanting to say this, even though I think it's obvious from the sugya, even though to really learn it from Zoroa B'Sheila is problematic on so many levels. See, it's not just that you put everything together. It's not just that it's min b'mino, so you can't taste it anyway. But on top of that, the Torah never said that less than 60 or 100 you can't eat. Right? The Torah just said all you see from Zerah B'Shel, and I said this earlier, is that Memela, 60 or 100, whatever you think the proportion is definitely Mutter. It could be that 30 is Mutter. It could be that the Torah holds that there is no such thing as Tam Kikar, and it's Bata B'Rov, and that's why the Torah says, go cook your Zerah with your aisle. Because what problem could there possibly be? Right? It wouldn't even matter if the Zerah were 10 times the size of the aisle, because you're not dealing with Mamasha, you're dealing just with Tam. Right? If you can, at the end of the day, you take the Zerah and the aisle and you cut them apart, and you have no Mamashas of either one and the other, it's just a question of how much Tam transferred. If you hold a Tam Kikar Slav Daraisa, I presume, in fact, I'm pretty sure about this, in fact, if you say Tam Kikar Slav Daraisa, you could have 100 times the Yisr Kenega the Heter, as long as you can separate them and all that could have transferred was the Tam, then it would be Mutter. Right? If you can strain out all the... Well, I mean, that's a case where it's tricky, but theoretically, if you cook them right next to each other, you can just pull them apart, and there's no transfer of mushrooms, it's just flavor, that would be nothing. So how do you learn it anyway from, you know, Zerah B'Shel would be very difficult. But, nonetheless, with all those questions, Abaye seems to read, Tam Ke'ikar is the Raisa. Without Zerah B'Shel, we would have said Tam Ke'ikar doesn't exist, and you follow a row. With it, you do follow. With it, Tam Ke'ikar is now a principle, possibly Daraisa. Now, it happens to be, I know, that there's a Gemara later in the beginning of Basar B'Chalav, not in the beginning of the Mishnah, of Kofchas, you know, the Mishtipas Chalav, where Abaye and Rava seem to take these parts in the play, where Abaye thinks that Tamo must be Daraisa, and Rava says, you know, nothing doing. The question is, what do you think Rava's is Rava being Doch Abaye, is Rava arguing with Abaye? But up until this point, Abaye certainly seems to adopt the position Tamo v'lom Amasha was also min HaTorah. Right? I say Tam ki Iker is also min HaTorah. And let me go one step further. Okay, here I think is a very, very important point to make. Because here, I'm seeing the difficulties in learning Yerodea and Chulin at the same time. Yerodea is so much easier than Chulin, because Yerodea, everything fits into a neat box. That we've shown them, you know, one if they have the other, and you can explain this svara, that svara, but the Gemara is actually a lot more difficult in putting the pieces together. So some of you may know, we talk about Tam Ke'ikar, and Tam Ke'ikar we paskin is Daraisa. It means if you can taste the food. Does it make a difference if it was just Tam, or if the, in other words, there are two ways to get it. I could take the Isser, and I could mix it together, but this relatively little, it blends, and I can't pull it out. At this point, it's inseparable, and maybe I can taste it. Maybe I can't taste it. That's Tom. That's the shy of whether you have Tom or not. The other possibility is I could take my spices and I could cook them in the pot, you know, in a separate spice thing where the spices can't get out, let's say. And you're getting essentially, you know, not invisibly get out. Nothing that we would call mamish. Now, there's obviously, chemically speaking, there has to be a transfer something, but we would not call that, not mamish, we would call that Tom. Now, we don't assume the halacha that there's any difference between those two. But there is a block of Rishonim that say that there is a difference. That there's a difference between Tama u'mamasha and Tama v'lomamasha. And it's a question of what those words mean, but the way I use those words right now is Tama u'mamasha means when I take the Isser and I mix it mamash in it. Physically, there's mamashas so of the Isser mixed in, but I may or may not be able to taste it. That's the question. That's one kind of that Tam Ke'ikar. And so those who distinguish between that and a situation where there is no mamashas d'isur, where at the end of the day you pull them apart, but one of them may have flavored the other. For those of you who just took the bechina, who says that? Who makes that distinction? The Ran, following really the Ramban. The Ramban already says, by kfela, that the Ramban says you can't rely upon a kfela when there's mamashas of the isur, only when there's tam of the isur. The Ran goes a step further. The Ran claims that the machlokes, Rashi and Tosis, where the Tam Kikar is Daraisa, Tam Kikar la Daraisa, is only when you're dealing with Tam Ovala Mamasha. If there's Mamasha there, everybody agrees it's Daraisa. Now, when you think about this sugya, right now what Abaye has said, if Abaye holds Tam Kikar is Daraisa, which kind of Tam has he said is Daraisa? Did he say Tamo Umamasha or even Tam Ovala Mamasha? If Zerah B'Shela is the source for Abaye, for the principle Tam Kikar Daraisa, then which one of those positions is he adopting? Tamo, even without mamasha, meaning the bigger chumrah. Even tamo without mamasha. Okay? Anyway, so this is what Abaye has said. Now, following the exact same template, and the Masader HaSugya You could, the B'nai HaBeis Medrash who asked on Abaye and so on, they took the same, as you know, when you learn any Gemara, frequently when you get multiple opinions, it's the same stamp, so they're going to do the exact same Shaka V'Tari with Rava. Abigail?
You just
even Tamo Belima Masho is the Raisa according to Abaye, because Abaye says the Makar, that Mida Raisa Minatar, you would have followed a Rove if not for Zerah B'Sheila. Zerah B'Sheila teaches you can't follow Rove, the Tam Kikar, and what is Zerah B'Sheila? Zerah B'Sheila is Tamo Veloma Masho, because you don't have any Mamash of the Zerah, you just cut it off and the Zerah is gone. Rava, what does Rava say? Go ahead. Rava Amar. Second line from the bottom. So lonitzracha ella letam ki'ikar. In other words, don't think hetar habama chalisur means that here you can use shishim a man, elsewhere you can't use shishim a man. No! Shishim a man you can learn to elsewhere. Well, we're telling you what's unique about Zerah B'Sheila is that Zerah B'Sheila is tam ki'ikar b'kachim, which is normally asur. And here it's mutter. Now, how do you? So basically, the Torah tells us by Zerah B'Sheila, which is tam ki'ikar, that it's mutter, even though tam ki'ikar by kachim is normally asur. Now, how do we know that? The Gemara will say in a second. Now, however, let me ask you a question. Here's the problem. Is tam ki'ikar mutter by Zerah B'Sheila? Ari couldn't be here, but he picked up on this question. He was bothering me to consider
well,
about this.
How would it be?
I'm glad there was a bechina where I got to throw them out and I escaped his torture. Okay? Yeah.
How would it be tam ki'ikar if they mean b'mina?
Forget that. Let's pretend we're having an imaginary Zerah B'Sheila where it transfers flavor. Is this tam ki'ikar? Jonathan, you see where this is going? No? It's going up your avenue. Because the whole point is we're saying Zerah B'Sheila requires Shishim Ameh. What does Shishim Ameh accomplish for you? So you do not know Saint Tam. So the Torah wasn't matir tam ki'ikar by Zerah B'Sheila. The whole point of Shishim Ameh is there's no tam. Unless you say there's no tam chazak, but there might still be tam kalush. That's how Tosus opens his discussion. That's where he's coming from. Because, and I have to admit, as much as I don't want to admit the existence of the thing, it does sound like that. Because what do you mean? Tam ki'ikar shari, it's asur by kachem, it's shari by Zerah B'Sheila. It's not shari by Zerah B'Sheila. That's why you need shishim me'ah, so there's no tam. That's the whole point. Now, let me ask another question before the Gemara goes on. Okay? If you accept what I just said. What about by chulin? What is the Gemara mashma? It's mashma that tam ki'ikar is mutter by chulin. Right? In other words, firstly, we are learning from Zerah B'Sheila. We learn from Zerah B'Sheila to other things. What don't we learn to? We don't learn to tam ki'ikar by kachin. It's mashma that tam ki'ikar by chulin is mutter. What tam ki'ikar by chulin are we talking about? Is mutter? What would you say? Is anybody following anything that I've just been saying?
Tam of lo.
Forget that part. That's true. That's part A. Now you know where the statement of the Ron is coming from. But putting that aside, let me repeat. Okay? Again, don't be shy about asking. Let's start this again. Just understand what Rabbi's words are very difficult. The Braisa said that the Gemara wants to learn Shishim and Me'ah from Zerah B'Sheila to all Isurim. Okay, let's assume at least all Isurim of Chulin. That consideration has never been raised until this point. Distinguishing between Chulin and Kachim. Let's assume at least a Chulin. Okay, all Isurim, Shishim or Me'ah. Okay. The Gemara says, how can you learn a Kula, or presume a Kula, to be made with Shishim or Me'ah by all Isurim, if after all, the Braisa says, Zerah B'Sheila is heter abam achal isur. It must be that by all other isurim it is asur shishim. Shishim is not good enough. So Abaye said one thing. Rava says, no, you know what? The heter abam achal isur is not that you can't have shishim and mea by other Isurim. It's that you can't have Tam Ki'ikar by Kachim. I'll even say it differently. You can't have Shishim and Mea by other Kachim. That's Heter Abba Mechalisim. By Kachim, generally speaking, a Tam of Koshehu should have been Aser. By Zorah B'Sheila, the Torah is Machadesh, that no, that it's not Tam Koshehu. If you have Shishim or Mea, it's Betela. And that you can learn. That you'd have the din would apply by Chulin as well, just not by other Kachim. That's what Zeo Heter Abba Mechalisim is. So here's the problem. How does Rava use that? He uses the term Tam Ki'ikar. And he's saying that Tam Ki'ikar is Mutar by Zerah B'Sheila. It's Usar, it sounds like. It's Usar by other Kachim. It sounds like it's Mutar by Chulin. What's Mutar? Tam Ki'ikar. What is Tam Ki'ikar? Zerah B'Sheila. Do you taste the Zerah? Forget the Mimimino problem. Proportionally, if you have 60 or 100 Kenega the Zerah, you don't taste it anymore. That's the whole point. So what Tam Ki'ikar is there that it's Mutar by Zerah B'Sheila? And that you're now extrapolating to all of the Yisurim. There's no Tam Ki'ikar. That's the whole point. That's why, Rashi doesn't really say this, but that's why, if you look in the, well, we're going to read Tosfos at some point, the whole Tosfos, but if you look in the bottom Tosfos, the big one, Rava Amar Lanitzracha, on the fourth line, included the Bamasla line, the last word on the line, Mashma, the Ritzono Lomar, the Tam Ki'ikar, the Gomar, Lav the Tam Gomarhu, the Habata B'meir B'shishim Elatam Koldehu Ka'amar. It sounds like the Tosfos says, it sounds from the Gemara, the way he's explaining Rashi, it sounds like the Gemara saying as follows, that there is Tam Mamish, not a bad interest, there's Tam Chazak, and then there's Tam Kolosh. And when we say that Tam Ki'ikar, we talk about Tam Ki'ikar, we're talking about even Tam Kolosh. And the Torah says, by Zerah B'Sheila, the Tam Kolosh is Mutar. Once you have Shishir Mea, it's Mutar. And that we can learn to all other Yisurim, except for Kachim. By Kachim, even Tam Kolosh is Asur. Now, this Tam Ki'ikar applies by Kachim, even Tam Kolosh, by everything else, by Zerah B'Sheila and by Chulin, Tam Ki'ikar only applies to a Tam Chazak.
So by everything besides percussion, that's Mimbamino.
So forget them. We're talking about Mimbashen Amino. I know that's Rabbi Shane happens to be Mimino, but just forget that question.
Nothing else is Mim.
No, well, it's just, everything else is going to be by, at least by Chulin, is going to be Mimbashen Amino. Let's just accept that.
So what?
Pretend for the moment. You gotta at the moment when you're doing this Gemara, you're out of your mind unless you're willing to pretend for the moment that the Zeroa tastes different than the Ayah.
But why? If everything else is not Mimbashen Amino, why is we have to go to a din of Tam Kolosh?
No, the Gemara says here that the Rav is claiming that the Kula we have,
right,
the Heter Bo Mechal Isser Zerah B'Sheila, is the Tam Ki'ikar is Mutar here.
Oh,
Zerah B'Sheila.
Okay.
And that would apply to Chulin. He doesn't say this, but I'm going to say, the way Rashi reads, that it's mashma from the simple reading of the Gemara that Rava holds that isser, the isser, the heter b'machal isser, the isser is by other kachim. It's mashma that chulin is the same din as Rav Sheila. The tam ki'ikar is mutar. But what tam ki'ikar is mutar? What tam ki'ikar are we being makil on by Rav Sheila? The answer is this very chalish tam, because you already have shishim u'meah. So accept that for the moment, yeah.
If Rava is saying that we're not necessarily learning Shishim Emea from Zerah B'Sheila, and instead we're going to Tam Ki'ikar, why do we assume that you have Shishim Emea by Zerah B'Sheila?
No, you physically have Shishim Emea.
But how does he know that? In other words, if the whole point of Zerah B'Sheila, at least initially, the start of the argument was to say, well, let's learn Shishim Emea from Zerah B'Sheila. Why? Because you can see the ratios between the Zerah and the rest of the aisle. Oh, but if you're not going to learn Shishim Emea from Zerah B'Sheila, who's to say that everyone's going to agree that you do have Shishim Emea?
Nobody's going to argue about the Metzias of whether you have Shishim, or, you know, the even Shishim Emea is not an argument the Metzias, it's an argument how you cheshbon things. In other words, whether you count the bone or not. But the bottom line is, nobody's going to argue that Zerah B'Sheila is a case where you have Shishim or Emea, depending on how you count. You have the aisle 60 or 100 times the volume of the Zeroa. And the Torah says that you cook it together, you must cook them together. And it's mutter to eat it. A zar can eat the ayo part, even though it was cooked with the zrar. That part's not in dispute. So it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Now, the one thing, what is odd about Rava's formulation is that he introduces the words tam ki'ikar, and the way I'm reading it, what is Rava really introducing into the equation? What's Rava really introducing into the equation to deflect the Gemara's question? Abaye introduced min bimino as the element, the heter abam chalisu. What has Rava introduced? No. Kachim. He threw kachim into the mix. What's interesting is that he first invokes the words tam ki'ikar, which the Gemara itself has not used. Have we even seen the words tam ki'ikar? I don't think so. Now that may just be a function of the fact that tam ki'ikar might be the terminology, the concept is Mishnayic. The terminology of tam ki'ikar may be something that originates with Rava, and that's why maybe it doesn't appear earlier within the sugya. Okay, either way, the last two sentences. If you get it, you get it. If not, it's something to think about. So now the Gemara says, fine. Rava says, you know what the hetar b'machaleser is? That it's kachin. And normally by kachin, tam kikar's usher. By zrabah sheila, it's a mutter. That doesn't mean you can't learn tachulin. So now the Gemara says, vig, go ahead, top of tzadi tesam and aleph. Leos kimoha. Finish the braisa. She'im. Kichomer shiva. All right. So the Torah says by chatas, anything that touches its basar becomes holy. And it's very interesting because pshuta shel mikra, and this is discussed somewhere actually, sounds like it's almost a contact issue, not so much a tam issue.
By kachim.
What? By kachim. Yes. So, but the Gemara does say Beferish in Psachim. It's at least in Sugya Psachim. It might be elsewhere too. And is that correct? I don't know if that's correct or not. Maybe it is still in Hamel. I think that's a misprint. But the Gemara does say in Psachim that it has to be Balea. That you would have thought even if it wasn't Balea. So that the Tam Lomar, they quote some drasha to prove that it has to be if it's Balea some. Okay? But Kol Hashayi Gabiv Sarai Yikdash, Lios Kimoha. So by Chatas, if it comes in contact with it, it can wind up in a higher level of kedusha, where you'd have to eat a kachamer shiba, or if it's pasul, it could pasul things either way. And so, what do you see from that? You see that from that tam ki'ikar by kachim is asar. How do you see that? If it has to be balea, as the Gemara Misachim says, as an extended drasha, how do you know that you're dealing with tam ki'ikar? Maybe you're dealing with taroves. So here, I don't know if anybody says this, but I think it's pashrut. Sean?
They're not mixing, they're just touching.
Kol asher yigad, even if you want to say yigad doesn't mean just a touch, it means there has to be a transfer, that's going to be tam only. If you put, you know, two loaves of bread next to each other, of different flavors, let's say they're very flavorful, but one from the contact is going to flavor the other, it's going to be tam of lama mashia. You can't, without mixing things up and chopping them up, you're not going to be able to get mamasha, so you're only going to get tam. So the Gemara says that you see bechatas the tam ki'ikar is asr. So that's why you don't learn from Zoro B'Sheila. Why? Because you have a pasuk by chatas that tells you otherwise. So now, without reading on the Gemara, what's the next question you're going to ask? What? No, come on. Guys, I told you, it's like a template. They stamp this out. They produce this. The next question is, why do you learn from this over the other one? Just like you did before. Abaye and Rava, you're substituting a couple of words or a couple of concepts. It's the same tsura. Okay? This is the work, obviously, of the Masada or the Sugya. Or the B'nai HaBeis Medrash, we're asking the question against Rava, against Abaye. It's the same format. So my chazis. See, I know this is a davar pashut. At this stage, I shouldn't be saying this. But if you recognize this tendency, it's much easier to learn Gemara. You could almost written once you see the first half of the sugya, you could almost write the second half of the sugya. I mean, you can't write it because you don't know all the considerations. But you can see whether it will help you know where the Gemara is going. So my chazis the gamrinan. And without reading the next line, you can guess what the answer is going to be. Hiddishu mi hiddishel gamrina. Whatever it meant earlier when it said hiddishu, and for we interpret the way all the Rishonim did, that it meant bitalisu lachatchila. So that's what it means here. Mi hiddishel gamrina. And guess what? The Gemara says, Atu. I'm sorry, yeah, okay. Yeah, the Mesh is not in the Gemara. Okay, exact same thing, right? Third thing, I thought we were supposed to get through this quickly, but that never happens. Okay, but that's the way it is. Go ahead, Rabba.
Rabina Amar. I'm sorry, Rabba. Elo Lamakom Chataf the Amar. Nekom Chataf the Alma Asar.
Okay. So here, if you haven't learned Perek Behema Hamakasha, which I feel comfortably, rest assured, unless some of you have done Daf Yomi in your lifetimes, you have not learned. It is a part that theoretically, I guess you would have to do it. I suspect that the dinim are discussed in Hilchos Trefos. But that's where this issue really comes up, the primary discussion is. Namely, when you have a behema where the vlad sticks its hand out and then pulls the hand back in. So if the behema is eventually not born, but they shecht the mother, so then is the arm that it stuck out is aser. It's considered basar hayotze chutz lemechitz aser. So you have a din by kachin that if you take basar as yotze outside of the permissible place to eat it, it's asur to eat permanently. You take kachim kalim out of Yerushalayim, you take kachim kadoshim out of the azara. So the same thing is true if this vlad stuck its hand out into the world and it never eventually came out. Obviously, if the vlad is born ultimately, then you have to shech the vlad, but the shechita works on the entire thing. But when a vlad is not born and you do shechita on the mother, the way the halacha perceives it is that you have done shechita on the mother and the vlad, but the part of the animal that it stuck out already, the shechita does not cover. The way Chazal formulated in this very neat category, and because we're not doing shechita, unfortunately, we will not get to have the grand old fun that you get to have when you do the sugya ben pekua, right? The ben pekua is the animal that's born after they shecht, that's taken out after they shecht the mother and it's walking around alive. So the Gemara says, the way we hold, not like Rabbi Meir, that there are four simanim in a fetal behema, the two of its mother and its two. And if you shecht either pair, the animal is permitted to be consumed. So if you shecht the mother, and the mother's shechita is a proper shechita, and the mother's edible, so you can eat the vlad too, min haTorah, you don't have to kill it, so you could have this, imagine, this ben pekuah. Even if we're not going to do this, you at least should know what this is. You should never walk out having learned chul and said, but I don't know what a ben pekuah is. So a ben pekuah is this little shepsel walking around on four legs, you know, frolicking, and then you take him on your plate and cut him up with a fork and a knife. Okay, so that would be mutter min haTorah. There's a maris ayin of Eiver min haChai.
It was considered in the Weimar Republic because shechita was banned.
Oh yes, that's probably true. Yes, now that you're saying it, I've heard this before. It becomes a whole discussion. So the bottom line is that ben pekuah is only also because of marasayin. You don't have to shecht it. You can hit over the. I mean, not that it's appropriate to do, but technically speaking, you can hit over the head with a frying pan until it drops dead, and then you can eat it because it's not. It's already had a shechita. You just can't eat it. You can't eat it alive. And so therefore, why there are four siman on the behema. So if the mother shechita is no good, and then you can take the vlad out and you can shecht it. If the mother shechita is good at that point, there's no more shechita for the vlad. But if it had stuck a leg out or a part out before the shechita of the mother, it's basar yotzei chutz mechitzasa. So one of the things you can do right then, I don't know if you want to do this, if they know they're going to shecht the mother, cut the aver off. The question is, what about the makom hachatach, the place that was actually cut, that was in contact with the part of the limb that was removed and is aser. Okay, now interestingly enough, just for a clever bikias, what did Mukei Shchin in Yerushalayim do when they wanted to bring their Karban Pesach? Yosef? You have a memory for the macabre, don't you? Yes, go ahead. You have a good memory anyway. Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah, basically, they whittled away all the necrotic parts of their arm, and then they just stuck it somewhere, and then they walked away.
Yeah, he sort of was tochev it in something and pull away so that you don't come in contact. In other words, the Eiver Min HaChai is not metame until it's separated from the body. So you don't want to be handling it because then you're going to become tame. You won't be able to bring your Karban Pesach. You don't. I guess you don't want to fall off in the middle of dealing through Korban Pesach, because then you got other tzarsim from the chayzim time. But ohel, so instead the doctor would sort of cuddle it down to the last thing, and then the, you know, they would be tochev it in something, and then the mukesh shchin would sort of pull away, and therefore he wouldn't come in contact with the Eva. Yes,
it's a
charming image, but that's makom achatach. But there, the difference there may be, what's the difference? There, it's not metame until it's been separated. By the ubar, as an example, the makom achatach, so the Eva itself is aser once it's yotze chutz l'chasa. Whether you cut it off or not, it's already aser. So what's the din of makom achatach? David?
I don't want to get us off track, I'm just curious. If you would, like, mikadesh an animal, and there was a part of the baby that stuck its arm out, would that part also become hekdesh or not?
I don't know the answer to the question. And if I did, I probably would follow the sage advice in your question. Okay. So, well, I don't know. I just don't know. So Rabina says, lo nitzvacha ela makom chatach. Okay. The omar makom chatach bi'alma asur v'hacha shari. Okay. What's missing? What's that? The rest of the discussion. Now, could we construct the rest of the discussion? V'ligmar minei. Why don't you learn from it? So, we're not going to, but can you suggest very briefly, and then we'll go back to our sugya, why might it be that that doesn't happen? What does it tell you? This is really historical sugya composition question more than anything else. But part of the problem is, aside from the fact that we have a tendency in the Beis Medrash not to pay attention to the structure of the Gemara, and we just read line by line and say what we're going to say, we also fail to discern instantly chronology. And what's the chronological issue here? Ravina and Abaye are what? Ravina's what?
Three or four generations
left. Yeah. Yeah, I thought you were saying third. Ravina is just seventh generation Amoris, the last generation. Rav and Abaye, fourth generation. Right? So clearly the dialogue of Rav and Abaye as constructed, again, how much is Rav and how much is the Bnei Beis Medrash in some other generation, I don't know. But that Rav and Abaye are not in the same room as Ravina. They never saw each other. When Rav died, who was born? According to the Gemara, I think it's a Kedushin. I believe it should be Rav Ashi. Now, look in Kedushin. Ad shelo zorcha, I don't know if it's the same Gemara, it's elsewhere. Ad shelo shaka shimsho shel eli zorcha shimsho shel shmuel armasi. That's v'nera lokim terem yichbev shmuel shochev. Right? So I think it's Mishames, you know, Rava.
It's in Kedushin's fifth parak.
No, fourth parak. There's no fifth parak. That'd be amazing. So you can.
No, it gets again.
Oh, okay.
That's better.
Okay, that's fine. Otherwise, if you find the fifth parak in you'll put it on the shelf along with the Yishalmi and Kach on Purim. Okay. So I think the answer is that the sugya already is composed, and this by the way for those who walk into the library, if you want to take, I'm not going to say it's absolute evidence, but it appears a sugya that predates already redacted before Ravina, because Ravina sort of stuck on as a different answer, but that you don't go through the same shock of Atarya. And I imagine that's an indication that the sugya is already preformed sometime between the time of Bayan Rava and before Ravina. So Ravina gives a third answer. We could have probably gone through a similar shock of Atarya, the Gemara doesn't. Okay, fine. And one other note here. Sometimes you get Gemaras like this where it could be actually a scribal feature, where a scribe just copied over. It doesn't work here to explain that for Rava because it's substantively completely different. The scribe is not going to out of his mind know that the makar for tam ke'ikar is kol asher yigad b'sarei yigdash. In other words, it's the work of intention. It's not sort of a thoughtless work of a scribe doing it. Okay, fine. So where does that leave us? Confused. We're not done yet, though. Yeah, okay. How do you go? I don't know. You have to look in the fourth parak to see what the pasuk is going to. Well, I don't know what the pasuk for makom chatach is. The pasuk for the basar yotzei chutz l'chasa. What's the makor for basar yotzei chutz l'mechitzasa being aser? You can't understand this, I think. And maybe the Gemara says it beforehand. I haven't learned this Gemara in very, very long time, too long. But you won't understand this, appreciate the Gemara and the drasha unless you know Aramaic. The makar is uvasar basadeh trefalo sochelu lakelav tashlichon aso. So you have to know Eretz Yisrael Aramaic. What is the word for sadeh in Aramaic? What's that? Chakla is the Unklus Aramaic equivalent, and it's the Bavli Aramaic equivalent. However, the Eretz Yisrael equivalent, the Neofiti, the Targum Neofiti, is Ape Bara. Okay, Ape Bara means Pnei Achutz. Uvasar Basa Detre Fasa, the drush is Basar Sheyatza Chutz Limechitzasa. So that's the makar for the limb itself. I don't know what the makar for the makar machatach is. By the way, it's biblical Aramaic also. Here's a bikias. I don't expect there are too many, and Blumenthal's not here anymore. He might have known this. There's only one place where Unklus uses the term bara for sada because it's influenced by biblical Aramaic. And if you want to see some of the benchers, you know, if you want to see bad vocalization. You know, in Karibon Chevas, not Bara. Bara means of the sun. Bara, Chevas Bara, is an expression from Daniel, and the Hebrew equivalent to that is Chayas Hasadeh. That's the only time Unklus uses Bara. Chayas Bara, I think Unklus has, but it's Chevas Bara from Daniel. That's where you see the word Bara, Sadeh for Bara, and the word Bar, Baraisa, Labar means chutz. Okay. So anyway, I don't know what the makar. You have to dig in the Gemara there, see if they quote a pasuk from makar machataf. Okay. Is there another question? Okay. Okay. All right. So this is the second. So we've seen two parts to the sugya. Okay. We've seen firstly the question of what we saw in the Yerushalmi, the Me'ah V'Shishim, and how they learn it. Now we have the second issue of how you do with Zeh Hetar B'Machal Iser and the three approaches to the Amoraim. And then finally, we get the third piece. Now, this is interesting. What happens now? Go ahead. Jeremy, you want to take over?
Yossi
Vrabdini.
Yossi Vrabdini, the Kramar, the
Hashemah. Okay. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Who is Vrabdini? He's an Amora. Okay. He's obviously, I don't know if he's that he's maybe a generation earlier, and that he's Abaye's Rebbe, but he's someone a little similar to Abaye. This occurs, Yosef Ravdimi occurs, I think, 11 places in Shas, and in every single one, Abaye comes along and challenges him. Okay, so I don't think he's the Talmud of Abaye. He's the contemporary or slightly older. He's not Abaye. Abaye's Rebbe is?
Yes.
Rav Yosef. But Rav Dimi is probably some third generation Amor. Every single time it's Rav Dimi. Now, Rav Dimi was sitting there and said, the Ka'amar Lo L'Hashmaitza means he said over this sugya. Which sugya? Well, I'll tell you the following. His sugya did not have Ravina in it. That cannot be. It's true they didn't have Ravina. Abaye might have had Ravai. I don't know. Lam is not here now. He could probably tell you more. He knows more about this from Dr. Elman. How much Abaye and Rava, they were in different communities, and there was clearly a lot of friction. You know, there's a Gemara Bava Metzia that says one of the Talmidim of Rava who died young, the Gemara said he died young because he used to announce that rather than eating of the bones of Abaye or something like that, you should come to Rava's yeshiva, and it was disrespectful. Clearly there was a certain amount of tension. I don't know how much of Rava and Abaye, how much dialing, how much they knew of each other's shmuos. The next generation knows already is going to know Rava and Abaye. So it's possible that Abaye has Rava, but it's not necessarily clear how much of what we just read in part two Abaye would even likely have, and Rav Dimi would like, and if certainly if it's Rav Dimi, certainly nothing of what just occurred could be the Shemaita that they're telling over. But it'll become clear from the Gemara what exactly it is that they're responding to. Avigal, are you going to say something?
Yeah, just question, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't a
generation of all? No, Rabbi Yochanan is the second generation Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael's generations are a little bit off, so Rabbi Yochanan is a younger contemporary of Rav and Shmuel. So he's younger. He's younger than the Gemara.
Rav Dimi is often the one who's bringing Rav Yochanan to
Right. So third generation, you know. So yeah, Ravin and Rav Dimi are usually the two who come in a pair.
So the Yerushalmi is written right after Rav Yochanan, or what?
The answer is we don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know. There's a lot of debate about that. The answer is it's definitely not right after Rabbi Yochanan. You know, the Amoraim and the Yerushalmi go down almost to probably the time of Ashi, not quite. The latest Amora of Bavel who's quoted in the Yerushalmi only a couple of times is Rav Yosef, Rava, Rava, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, otherwise known as Rava. I don't think Abaye is ever quoted, to the best of my knowledge, in the Yerushalmi. Not my Bikias, just what they say. And but you have Amoran down, but the assumption is that, as opposed to the Bavli, which has at least, even by any traditional account, another century of work, because Ravina dies 499, and that's not taking into account everything that might be post-Ravina from, you know, the Rosh Hashanah points out, whatever else. And so that part we may not have in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is done by the beginning of the 5th, no later than the beginning of the 5th century, whereas the Bavli is still being worked over at least through the 5th century. Okay, so anyway, so Rav Dimi says to Shmaitza, what does Abaye say to him? Okay, so now you know, what sugya were they talking about? Roman numeral 1, the first part that started on the bottom of Tzadi Chesam and Aleph, going over until where we started today. That's the Shmaitza that they told over. They're not dealing with Abaye and Rava and Ravina. Okay? In other words, he's responding straight. Rav Dimi told over the business of Shishim versus Meah, and now Abaye challenges that. It's a completely different conversation Abaye is having. David, I'm sorry, you had a question.
Yeah, I was just curious, why is Ravina put where he is? Meaning they were just trying to close up the...
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, let me put it to you this way. Yes, but probably that was a piece that was edited separately, and yes. Now you get it's a different... Right. Sometimes, as we point out, maybe a chronological issue. Sometimes you get material that is relevant to earlier from Eretz Yisrael that seems like it doesn't come to Bavel until later, and it's sort of appended on.
Yes.
But here, I think it's Pasha. Here, that's Ravina is 1, 2, 3, 5. Now, he says, "All these sun shibat Torah b'meya." Okay, hot tanan. No. Lema amru. Okay, so we had the Mishnah in Orla that said that, and again, we know what it means here, Mechametz. Okay, we weren't quite sure what to do with Metabel. That's what we had difficulty in Yerushalmi, because Metabel by definition means, should have to mean Mimishenu Mino, because Metabel means it flavors. Mechametz doesn't have to flavor. In other words, you can't taste wheat yeast. You can't, if you put in yeast, that's the sourdough of wheat, into a dough of wheat, you'll taste the fact that it's chametz now, but you're not going to taste the original wheat. All the original wheat does is cause start a chain reaction where the rest of the dough starts to develop those characteristics of rising. So therefore, it's possible you could have mindamino by chametz, and you could have a mimbashenim, and you could take barley starter dough, or you could take wheat starter dough. In Metabel, we don't know how you can have Mimbimino, Mimbishen Omino. Metabel, by definition, means you can taste that it should be Mimbishen Omino. So we spoke about this when we did the Yerushalmi. I'm not going to go over it now. and Medamea, nobody says anything, which is amazing, among the Mefarshim about Metabel. Schechter was surprised about that as well. Medamea, the Rishonim already they have to completely read in a different way, because that doesn't seem to make any sense. Medamea has nothing to do. Medamea means you make something Asur Gitarobes in Truma. So put Metabel and Medamea aside. Lama Amru Kolam Mechametz Lahachmir Mim Mimino Lahake Lahachmir Mim Mishen Amino. So the Mishnah said that when you have something that causes, that's Mechametz, what we call classically a Dabar HaMaimid, so if it's Mim Mimino, you have a double-edged Chumra. It's always the Chumra. Mim Mishen Amino, sometimes it's the Kula, sometimes it's the Chumra. So what, it's a very general Mishnah. What exactly does it mean? So now the Mishnah continues. The Katani Seifa, the second half. So, firstly, let me just review for you. What was the first half? Min Mimino is Lahachmir. What does that mean? It means that, let's say, I have Seor Shel Truma and an Esav Chulin. If it's Min Mimino, so the din is, number one, if it's Machmitz the Isa, even though there's less than 1/100th of Truma, it's still Aser. And even if it's not Machmitz the Isa, if you have more than 1/100th, it's also Aser. Now, what is the din by Min Bishin? I mean, now the next, the Mishnah later continues. So, Katani Seifa.
Katani Seifa. Kel Lachmir Min Bishin Amino. Kitzad. Krisim Shit Bashvu Ima Adashim. Yesh Bahan Benotim Ham. Then Yesh Bahan Lahalav Mea Be'achad. Then Ela Have Alav Mea Be'achad. Asur.
So, what does that mean? Yesh Bahan Benotim Ham? It doesn't mean just you can taste it. It means what? If it causes the dough to rise. So that means it's nikar. You can't actually taste it, but it leaves an impression. It leaves a lasting effect. So if it's machmitz the dough, then it doesn't matter whether you have Me'av Echad or not, it's Aser. Ein Bohem. Go ahead. So what do you see? So basically then the Mishnah says, it makes no difference whether or not you have Me'av. It's going to be mutter. Why? Because it's not no same time. So now the Gemara says, okay, so here, just you have to, this first time I learned this Gemara, this really threw me for a loop. But the simple reading of the Mishnah implies what? Forget what the Gemara just is about to say. Because the Gemara here is imposing one level of a Dindar Rabbanan. The simple reading of the Mishnah is, if I put yeast into a dough, and it doesn't make the dough rise, how much do I need in order to be mevatel that yeast? What proportion would you say you need? No, there is no nesinas tam. So what would you say? I would have said rove. Because you can't taste it. You can't taste it. And it's not a rove, so that should be double portion. In fact, really by right, that should even maybe, well, it's not, that should almost be true. L'chulei Alma, what is the din l'maisa even? How do we pasuk it? If I take iser of a different flavor than heter and I put into the heter, and we know, and it's less than a row, and we know that there's no ta'am, what's the din? Isn't it mutter?
Gelatin.
What?
Gelatin.
It's a davar maimed. It's machmis. In effect, it's machmis. That's why. I mean, I don't know exactly. I'm not a maven as to what gelatin looks like before you put the gelatin in afterwards. The whole point is that if it weren't necessary for making the jello like the jello is, they wouldn't be using the gelatin, and then it wouldn't be called jello. Okay. So bottom line, it should in fact be mutter medina. I don't know. So it's almost like the Gemara shalali but the hilchasam. But the Gemara says. So the Mishnah says that once it's not machmetz, it doesn't matter whether you have me'av echad or not. Whether you have me'av, whether you have less than me'av echad, or less than me'av echad, it's still going to be mutter. The Gemara makes a presumption. Yeah, less than me'av echad is going to be mutter, but how much less than me'av echad? How much less than me'av echad? That's the question. So the Gemara says, obviously, if me'av is not the shear, what must the shear be? Must be shishim. I mean, that's the only this year we know. Well, I carefully switched gears here, and I said, if Me'a is not this year, so the year must be shishim. But until now, I was being careful. I said, Me'a v'yechad. Right? Because you can see, although, so the Gemara says what? So the Gemara says, so, Eim bohem lahalos b'me'a v'yechad mutter, Eim bohalos b'me'echad ela b'mai lav b'shishim. So the Gemara says, lo b'me'a. Now something doesn't add up here. So the Gemara says, continue. Okay, so you know what? I'll give you guys how many people have seen the Gemara so far? Okay, so we'll pick up here tomorrow. But basically, the Gemara is going to go through the rest of that, sort of solve that piece. And so we'll resume here. Shir will be regular Tuesday time at 11 o'clock. And I will probably, if you finish the Gemara already, you can start going back with Rashi and Tosfos. We're probably going to spend much of our time, not all of our time, on that big Tosfos of Tam Ke'ikar. But I think at least we sort of laid out what the issues are. There's also, the bad news is that we have to do some stuff in Sachem, and I'm not sure how to give that to you because it's long. And it's really hard. And Tosfos is going to quote some of those Gemaras. So for the moment, start doing Tosfos, and I'm going to try to think how I can sort of break that up and deal with that. Yeah. Okay.